it was fascinating to me to use the different frameworks and to learn. It's just in my nature to be teaching.
Hello, and welcome to the Permaculture Vine podcast, where we talk about permaculture, education, careers, and business. I'm your host, Cormac Harkin, and today we have Annette Argerbright on. Welcome, Annette.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Would you just like to give us a quick 30-second introduction, please?
Sure. Well, thank you, Cormac, for having me. And I love talking about permaculture, of course. So I live in Texas in the United States, and I've been doing permaculture for about 10 years, probably a little longer than that. And I keep wanting to learn more, so I keep taking more and more classes. But I came into permaculture wanting to change the way I live my life. I had a family crisis. It's an ongoing crisis, and I needed something different to focus on. And this was the answer.
Great stuff. So let's take it back to 10 years ago then. When did you first hear about permaculture?
When did I first hear? I was at a conference, actually. I knew I had already had this calling, and I knew I needed to find whatever that was. And so I went to this conference. It was the Mother Earth News conference here in Texas, and just seeking answers. And I ended up in a 1-hour permaculture talk. And I knew that was it. And I got so excited. I couldn't sit still. I was bouncing and I wanted to jump up and down and say, yes. And I looked around and nobody else, you know, everybody else was behaving themselves. And so I thought, okay, I've got to be quiet. But I knew that was it. And so I went to a few other talks similar to that at this conference. And within the next week had signed up for my PDC and for an intro to permaculture course that was a month long. So I started with that. Then I did my design certification, and then I just kept going. Then I did a teacher's and a certification, and every single time there were questions that I had and they were answered. But by the time it was over, I had another long list of questions.
You didn't mess about then from the Mother Earth News straight on to a PDC.
Yeah. I had a recommendation from that conference for an intro. And so I did that through Oregon State University. I don't think they offer it anymore, but and in the meantime, I started searching, and I think it was less than a week when I found the closest design certification in person to me, and I had registered, and it started 3 months after that course. And so I just jumped right in.
Right. So tell us about that in person. Was it the 2 weeks?
No. It was a 7-month long permaculture course. We met once a month for a whole weekend, and we were there 8 hours each day. We had our food catered by this great group, and we would all bring things from our garden, and they would prepare food with that. So it was wonderful. And we got to know each other so well. So it was a great group. And then and we met at the same place every month, and just had different speakers and teachers, and so it was great.
Yeah, that sounds good. Especially if it's you're building that community as well at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, were you gardening at the time, or was this your introduction to gardening?
Well, I did garden some, and I have been working with some alternative gardening techniques and dabbling in like a mini orchard and putting trees closer together and pruning them and things like that. And I had started with an aeroponic system as well. So when I moved to where I'm at now, I would wanted to combine permaculture and aeroponics. And so I have both. And so it's been fascinating to watch how both of those systems work. And one extends the season and one builds the soil. And I think they work beautifully together. But that's me. I love both. Looking at it's a big experiment, right?
Yeah,
So.
I've never actually, I have no experience of aeroponics at all.
Okay.
But how does that work?
Aeroponics, it's a form of hydroponics, but the water, it's called a tower garden, and the water shoots up through the center of the tower, and then it rains down inside the tower but on the roots. And then it's on a timer, so when it is not running, then the roots are suspended in air, which helps to kill off some bad bacteria and pathogens, and it just helps them rejuvenate a little bit. And it's pretty fascinating. I can pull each plant out and trim or prune the roots. It's also educational to look at each of the root systems because they're all so different. So,
Yeah, that's quite.
anyway.
I'll have to look into that more. So what made you then do your teaching cert after your PDC?
Well, I've been teaching. I'm a homeschooler, and I've been homeschooling for more than 20 years. So it's just in my nature to be teaching, and I wanted to teach a PDC. And the teacher's course was offered through where I took the design course. So we did that, and it was another really great class. And then at the end, we spent 3 days designing our PDC and moving forward with that. So that was a wonderful experience. And then I've been able to take that information and go from there. I did take a second teaching certification through the Children in Permaculture out of the UK as well. So, and completely different perspective. Well, not perspective, but focused in on the children. So very helpful.
Yeah, I suppose that helped with the homeschooling as well.
Yes. And now I'm writing my own curriculum. So it's using that information and information I've used over the years. So it's nice to collaborate all of that information into one project and see how well that goes.
And so the first teaching qualification, you designed a PDC. Did you teach that PDC then?
Not that one, no. That one kind of fell apart at the last minute, which was sad. But I have used what we developed since then. And used it with other PDCs. So yes.
Great stuff. Careers wise, when did you start actually working in permaculture, and what was your first job or your first?
Well, I started very soon after my teacher's certification, doing some intro to permaculture courses through my city, and teaching different things. And then I started a youth program, and so we were teaching courses through that. So little bits here and there. And then I did start offering consultations, but I didn't work. I guess it's been about 3 years. The past 3 years, I've worked a lot more full time in permaculture.
Yeah, and who's that? Is that self-employed?
Well, self-employed
Freelancers?
as well. Yes, lots of different things. So self-employed, and I guess all of them are, but I had a business called Oliver's Gardens. And that was I went to market with some different foods and microgreens and herbs and things. It had guest rentals and did consultations. Then I have family permaculture with two other design colleagues. And we do family-based permaculture courses. And then I also work with Food Forest Abundance as head of installation, a designer and educator. So Yeah, juggling several things.
All the
And
same,
then,
well, multiple sources of income is a good thing.
yes, I think that's the way it needs to be with permaculture. Lots of eggs in several baskets.
Well, I still haven't made the transition to full-time permaculture career yet. I still have one toe still in the day job. So
Yes.
it is a progression, definitely.
It is.
So you mentioned their family permaculture.
Yes.
How did that come about? Because a lot of people, as like myself, I've tried working with others, and just the ebbs and flows. People just have different pressures on their own life. It's very hard to get that balance, I find, working with people.
It
How
yes,
did you
yes.
how did that story go with family permaculture?
Well, okay, the youth program I started early on was with a couple other people from my PDC and teacher's course, and it couldn't take off. And so we tried again, two of us, and it still didn't really take off. So then I took the children in permaculture course. I told her about it, and she met our third colleague, and we were about to start working with PermaYouth Americas. And at PermaYouth is out of Australia, so we wanted to bring it to America. And we met our third colleague who's out of Costa Rica, and so he said, I want to be a part of this. Let's call it PermaYouth Americas, and we'll just do all of the Americas. And so we did that. And through that, we realized how well we work together and how much we love working with the youth and creating content together. And so we started developing our own classes, and that's where family permaculture came. And yet we still thought of it as youth education. So, but during our first class, some of the parents were getting interested in what we were talking about, and so they would sit in on the class. And then we started inviting the whole family, and it was such a beautiful thing. We would have them do a design or a presentation, and they would each family member would participate. So we had the 2-year-old draw a picture of a tree, and then the 6-year-old would talk about the different veg that she wanted in the garden, and the 13-year-old would draw the plan, and then mom and dad would have their own take on it as well. And it was fascinating. We learned so much from these beautiful families that we started encouraging as many family members that wanted to participate in each of our classes. So it was amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. It's pr probably quite unique as well, where you're multi-generational classrooms.
Yes, but that's the way it is with homeschool. So it works well because the older students or children or family members can help with the little ones, and the little ones have such a sweet, innocent perspective that kind of reminds the rest of us to have that childlike wonder. So, yeah, I
Yeah.
love that part.
And PermaYouth Americas as well. What was that about? That was what did you do with that then as well? Was that run parallel with family permaculture?
It was for a while. PermaYouth started with Morag Gamble and her daughter Maya, and we just fell in love with what they were doing. So we tried to repeat that here with guest speakers, and then the children would participate, and they would have their own presentations. But again, we ended up drawing a crowd of all ages. And so that also helped to develop family permaculture because we just were not contained into this one age group. That's just what we've gravitated to and what developed naturally. So it's been a very educational experience for us, and fascinating to see all the different ages and how they blend together, even if they're not in the same family.
Yeah. Aye. So it's nice the way he's just rolled with that and sort of fell into it. And then as well, the multiple keeping at it as well, finding your the three that worked. So
Yes, I mean that, I guess that was your original question
yeah,
about
that was
working together. I don't know how it worked out, but the three of us just work very, very well together. And there have been several partnerships that it fizzled out for one reason or the other, but I think we have a different family dynamic also that we bring to the table. And so we're able to speak from different perspectives, different age groups, different locations. And so based on that, we're able to bring to collaborate based on that shared knowledge and experience.
No, it's definitely I like the way it's targeting all the families, the multi-generational thing. Your design work, your prepared. So I started FFA what two years ago, maybe two and a half, and you were there as a designer as well. How did your design? How did you get into that design sort of the digital design side of things?
Well, Alan, our third colleague with Family Permaculture, was already with Food Forest Abundance and brought us in as well. So we all work there too. And I started as a designer and I did that for, well, I still am, but I did that for about a year and then just kept learning and growing in that aspect of it. The computer acts, you know, the digital design part was another learning curve. So worked on that and then went into being a design team lead and then was fascinated with working on recreating or redesigning the installation network and found that I really honestly love kind of the people care design more than I do the land-based design. I love both, but so that's when I moved into the head of installation and love that part of creating connections between our clients or stewards, as we call them, and an installer, and then creating, not creating, but helping these installers build their business or just encourage them and giving them some opportunities, not only with installations, but educational opportunities and working on different certifications that I can offer them, not me, but kind of design those training opportunities for them. So I find that I really do love that, and also designing events and designing classes and things like that. So I think that's a little more my niche, but I also enjoy the landscape design as well.
Right, so you have the landscape design, the person design, the teaching design, the course design. There's a lot of
Yes.
a lot going on there.
Yes. I do better when I juggle lots of things.
And how did you find learning the digital design?
I found that a little more challenging. I didn't know the software, so that took a while. And right now I haven't done a computer design in a few months, so I'm always having to go back and remind myself and, you know, watch others, so that we have a few designers that I like to follow and study their designs and learn, ask them a lot of questions and just study the elements that they use. So, but yeah, it's a little it was definitely a learning curve.
Yeah, well, I've seen your designs. Like they do look fantastic. So
Oh,
you've
thank
done all
you.
right.
Well, thank you.
And so the team leader tells about that. What was that role like? Being a team leader of a group of a team of designers.
Yes, I loved that. I loved that. And really that was kind of assigning a design to designers and then just managing that design from in kind of behind the scenes, just checking on it from time to time, meeting with the designer if they needed some help and guidance, And then sometimes meeting with the steward and the designer if we needed to come up with different solutions or solve an issue. It's a lot like what I do with installation. But I did love that. And then we would meet, our team would meet from time to time, and we'd have tutorials or a networking group, or just to do updates and things like that.
Yeah, it's one of the good things about the Food Forest Abundance being part of that network is the educational stuff. There's the range of knowledge is from urban properties right up to multi-acre sites, water, you name it. There's an expert in something. No, there's an expert in every topic somewhere.
There is, and in every climate. So it's great if you're doing a design that is a climate you're unfamiliar with. You can always find somebody that has that skill set and knows what works there. So I do love that.
Yeah. Right. So recently I was at your presentation. What did you call it again for your diploma?
For the Applied Permaculture Design Diploma. Yes.
So tell us about that.
So much.
I know, Sweat. I enjoyed the experience. It was nice being part of that and seeing, like, because I just started the diploma. Well, I say just started about 4 or 5 months in. I haven't done anything yet. I'm still at the what I call it, the observation stage.
Yes, yes,
and that's the permaculture principle I'm using as an excuse for not having produced anything. Observe and interact. So I'm interacting. I'm going to all the meetings and observing.
That's great. That's great.
So do you want to tell us about the applied diploma, that process?
Yes. Okay. I loved that process. Sometimes frustrating, but like I said earlier, I still had a lot of questions after all the classes I had done, and so I learned about the diploma and I wanted to learn more. So I actually did another one prior to this, and it was just me and my mentor, and it wasn't through an association. And it's the same though. It was 10 designs, and by the end of it, I still had more questions. So I was in children and permaculture, and with the Permaculture Association, and the children and permaculture is a separate organization. My teacher there is with the Permaculture Association. And so I love their diploma process. I had checked out several different places, and I just like how they do that. So so I signed up, and it's still 10 designs, and it's based on learning, diving deep into the frameworks of permaculture design, how to use the tools, the ethics, the principles, different courses, books, and working with different people. So I also did half land-based design and half people-based design. Again, people being events, classes, and even an inner journey design, which I think is that known. I know it was the hardest design I've ever done, but I learned the most from that. So it was fascinating to me to use the different frameworks and to learn how to use different tools. And because it's based in the UK, it's very different how permaculture is practiced there a little bit than it is in America. And I found that very useful. It made me a much better designer because I was able to apply things there that I hadn't been applying. And then it opened my eyes, and I learned so much more about work that's going on around the world, and then really dove deep into the principles and ethics to the point where I feel like the principles are my friend, a lot of them. And they help me to tell the story. It's not just, okay, I see how use edges and value the marginal works in this garden space. It's it's teaching me about how to work through the areas of stuckness, is what I refer to them as, within my own life, or transitional moments and events during the day, our lives, a garden space, whatever it is, and seeing how they can be not rewritten, but written for yourself. We all have our own principles that we haven't recognized yet. It's those things we say to ourselves all the time, that kind of guide us. Those are our principles. And then looking at other people like Luby McNamara and Brad Lancaster for water management, all of these great works that are going on within permaculture and how they've applied David Holmgren's principles, Bill Mollison's principles, and written their own principles. So, and then through all of that, I was able to create my own framework for a design, and it worked very well. And I know I'll use it again. And then started working on a few, or recognizing a few of my own principles. I can't say that I wrote them, because they just naturally evolve.
Yeah,
Did that answer?
I was very impressed by your presentation. It was just your very personal. I thought it was very you leave a lot of yourself
Yes.
out there, which I thought was brilliant.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You said there was differences between the UK permaculture and any particular differences stand out?
Yes, I think in at least in my experience through the diploma, there was more focus on the use of frameworks and the use of tools like random assembly, or the PMI, the positives, the or PNI, the positives, negatives, and indifferent, and all of the there's several of those types of things that I wasn't using in my designs, and maybe that was also just part of doing a diploma design, but they did teach me to look at a property differently. They also taught me to look at even thinking of redesigning the install network within Food Forest Abundance. I used Luby's Design Web. I used the principles. I used different tools to help me make decisions, and changed my thought process based on those. So I at least from what I've seen in my work here in the States, there's a lot more focus on that in the UK.
Yeah, so it's one of something I'm let's say struggling with, but it's a barrier because it's like my first design. It was like, right, use the process Sadimet,
Yes,
and then
yes.
there's a bit of pain involved to try and learn that, and then
There
it's
is,
like
yes.
putting your ego aside and go, well, I'm a designer. I just it comes instinctively, it's
Exactly,
like that. No,
exactly.
go to the framework. So I'm
Yes.
slowly just going through all these things now and trying to learn them.
Oh, yes, it is very hard. It was hard for me too. And I think about half of my designs I did, and then thought, I'm supposed to put this in the framework, and then tried to go back and fit it in. And it works much easier if you start at the beginning. But I'm like you. A lot of that is just instinct. And I don't go, I don't, I still really don't pull out the framework until I'm stuck. And then I go back and look, and oh, I missed a step. And it's just a good reminder. It's a guide.
Yeah, and then like you say, then Luby McNamara's cards, different things. Just there's all sorts of
Yes.
resources there as well that I'm just
Yes.
learning about as well, because they in a few of the meetings they were talking about different things, and I'm like, well, what's Luby's principles? I think, all right,
Yes.
I had to go Google it while I was doing the call.
Yes.
So even just participating, it does open your open you up to all these different things that you wouldn't otherwise have.
Yes, it does. It does. It's one thing to go through your PDC and learn about the ethics and principles. I mean, they're a lot. It's a lot to look at them all and to understand them. And then you start to go through a process and you see it in action. You see, use edges and value the marginal, or observe and interact, or produce no waste. You know, it's but I mean, produce no waste. Let's take that one. It's so easy to think, oh, okay, well, that's easy. I'll recycle, or I'll make different decisions at my purchase point, or I'll compost. Then you put in your own needs, and you know, then you realize, oh, I'm part of the ecosystem. I'm part of nature. My needs are also part of the consideration, and that may change your decision. You know, it's just looking at those and taking them into a new dimension. And then suddenly they start to tell the story and they start to reveal themselves as you walk around all day, and suddenly it jumps out at you and you think, ah, I never thought of it that way before. And it's, I don't know, I find them just completely fascinating. And I find everyone who has developed their system of principles fascinating at how they were able to tune in and make that deep connection and see them and be able to write them down and define them. And I just think that takes us so much deeper,
Yeah.
which
Well, I'll come back
I
in
love.
18 months to see if I finished it.
Well, I'm happy to help in any way I can.
That's great. I've just a while lot going on at the minute, so I do intend once I get through this hump, I'm a bit of a hump at the minute with a lot of things on it. Once just to focus on that then.
Yes.
I probably jumped on it a bit too early, but sure.
That's okay. That's okay. I've known several people that have been working on their diploma for about 10 years, and they, yeah, and they still they're finishing, but so you're good.
No, I'm not putting myself under any pressure.
Good.
So as well, during the thing, you came out of the diploma as well with a book, was it?
I am working on a book. Actually, the accreditation event itself kind of developed a second book. And so it did. It did. I learned so much. The accreditation is design number 11 in my mind. And I learned a great deal from that day, from that event, preparing for it and presenting it and the feedback I received. But the first book is A Companion Guide to Our Street by Beck Lowe and David Holmgren. And at first, it was an outline that I wrote for our homeschool year because I'd read the book and realized this would be an incredible foundation for our year. And then I talked to a school about it and they loved the idea too. So I wrote it for a school as well as an individual family. And then I sent it to Brenna Quinlan, the illustrator, because I've worked with her in PermaYouth. And I wanted to make sure that was okay. And she loved it. And she sent it to Meliodor Publishing. And I got in touch with Beck Lowe. And so we've been talking. They love the idea. I got stuck on it because I was working on the design to finish my diploma, and that was how to write a book. And so now I'm trying to write it, and so I was stuck for a bit, so I'm trying to move forward now. But I'm really excited about that. And then the second one is I referred a lot during my presentation to the gate, and the gate is what in my personal life that I've been trying to get through the gate into my next chapter. And I don't know why I see a gate, but mentally I just see a gate. And everything is revolved around it. And the gate signifies lots of things, even what it's made of, each plank. So now I teach with the gate. And so I'm going to be using my framework that I wrote as kind of a book about getting through your gate. So I'm gonna go for it and see what comes of it.
Great stuff. That's typical permaculture person, two books at once.
Well, I won't start on that one until.
You're with the once finished. No, that's great stuff. We'll definitely share it on here whenever you get it finished.
Maybe you'll finish your diploma about the same time.
Well,
Little
these
challenge.
things tick as long as they tick, don't they?
They do. They sure do.
So, for a PDC graduate, someone coming out for a PDC, I've obviously done teaching, you've worked now in different roles. What would you, any advice for a graduate though? Somebody's just come out with a PDC and they don't know what to do. Any
Oh,
advice for them?
yes. Absolutely. I would lean into that area because if you don't know what to do, that's an area of stuckness. And lean into that and see what is there that you're that fascinates you. What did you love the most about your PDC? What do you feel like you need to learn more about? And those are the areas that should be your next stepping stones as to what either you're looking at something else to learn. Maybe you need to go be an apprentice to somebody and get some field training. Maybe there's some books or videos that you need to look into, or maybe somebody to interview, and maybe through that you will find some next steps. So that would be my first suggestion, and then just start going that direction and see what doors open. And go through that, or I should say gates. What gates open and go through those gates and see. Yes, or if it's unlocked.
Can just picture someone lost walking around an allotment trying all these gates.
I love that. Yes, and my diploma was titled Unlock because my gate was locked, and I realized at the end it was unlocked. I was still kind of there. That the gate was unlocked. So that's a really good analogy. I like that visual.
And then, so for all your teaching experience as well, someone who wants to be a teacher, any advice for them? What kind of path they should take? Do a teaching cert maybe, or?
I think there's a lot of value in the permaculture teacher certification because it is obviously very permaculture based. So you may have a lot of teaching experience, but I think that it just brings all of that together. If you are interested in teaching children, I would advise looking into the children and permaculture courses, and that's invaluable because it teaches you from that perspective, and then to how to be a practitioner within that, and then just start. Figuring out what is your passion. So just start teaching, or everything you learn about, now you're passionate about it, then share a presentation somewhere, whether you're writing a blog or sharing a social media post, or maybe you're speaking to a group or in your community, or maybe with your permaculture group. And then I also think every time you do a presentation, it should be in multiple forms. So if like I recently did a presentation for a webinar, and then I also used it for a summit, and but I also wrote it out so that I can have some of it printed for in-person prompts, you know, that I can hold up some pages or I can pass out some things. And it just helps me to be able to then offer that class or talk in several different venues. So I would recommend that because it also gives you a lot of different opportunities and ways to learn about what your passion is.
Yeah, I like that because you don't need permission to teach.
That's
No,
right.
just teach. If you know it, you teach it.
Just
As you
teach.
say, just teach,
Yep.
and then things will happen.
That's
You'll
right.
learn
That's
it.
right. A social media teaching moment could be 2 minutes.
Yeah,
So
could be a
just start.
Canva document. So what's next for you? Apart of the books, anything else in the pipeline?
I am working on rebranding myself. Instead of trying to work underneath a company, just kind of, I'm being known as Annette, the permaculturist, And I also work with these different projects or companies. So I'm trying to figure out what that looks like. And I don't know, just see what's next.
Podcast is a good start, anyway.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Great conversations are a wonderful way, just to kind of figure out what's next or just share what's on your heart. So I love that.
Well, looking forward to seeing that. Is there anything you want to share with us now before we wrap up here?
Well, I want to say thank you again for being a part of my accreditation. I really appreciate that. That meant a lot. If anybody has any questions or wants maybe a little help with some next steps or suggestions or whatever, I can share my contact information with Cormac. And if you're interested in the diploma, I am also now a diploma tutor, so I can help with that as well. But I'm just excited for anybody to take next steps and learn more about what this means to your life.
And that's great. And thank you very much for that. And as well, for Vine Permaculture, we have our course coming out now. I keep saying this in the next couple of weeks, but PDCD Professionals teaching digital design and technology. So
Wonderful.
basically getting your base map ready, your Google Earth, getting your information. It'll get you so far. It'll not be teaching the artistic side of it, but it'll get you a good base map. It's up to yourself then to push it. And then we teach you how to build a website for your business and just basically some different tools as well, just to get you started. So if you're a graduate PDC graduate, you want to be a professional designer, this course will get you a good stead pushing forward. So that's in the link, pdcdpro.com, and that's out now. Annette, thank you very much.
That's great. Oh, of course. I love that course. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, we're nearly there. And it's
That's the
also
next step.
it's got Mike's a year's access to Gilda, which to help you build your plant
Great.
guilds for all the different grow zones. So if you are designing zone 8, you want an apple tree guild, it'll I was gonna say spit you out a guild. It'll give you a list of plants that are appropriate to plant for that grow zone. So that's Mike Jones's Gilda.
Yes, and that's wonderful. That's great.
Yeah, I'm a user affinity too, which is cheap and cheerful.
Yes.
Annette, thank you very much. It's been really nice chatting to you, and thanks very much for sharing.
Well, thank you, Cormac.
See you all next week.